Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make
Welcome, everyone, to another inspiring episode of JoJo's Empowering Journey, where we explore stories of resilience, triumph, and empowerment. I'm your host, JoJo, and today's episode is incredibly special. We have the privilege of speaking with an amazing oncologist who is not only a leader in the field, but also a beacon of hope for those navigating the challenging road of cancer. Joining us today is the incredible Dr. Tiffany Trozo Sandoval. Dr. Trozo Sandoval is an oncologist with a passion for patient education and empowerment. She has dedicated her career to helping individuals and their caregivers not only understand the basics of cancer care, but also actively participating in their healing journey. Welcome, Dr. Trozo Sandoval.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that. And what a nice introduction.
Thank you so much. Let's start by diving into your background. What inspired you to pursue a career in oncology? How did you develop your focus on patient education?
Well, those are two very different questions. But the first one, to focus on oncology, actually started back when I was in college. So I went to Princeton and I majored in molecular biology, which way back in the day was, you know, this cutting edge science that I found absolutely fascinating. Most of what I learned in college at that time, which was so cutting edge, is now in my, you know, children's high school textbooks. So shows you how far the science has gone. But the part about molecular biology is that it's a study of DNA and things that can go wrong with DNA, how to manipulate DNA, and how DNA controls everything that goes on in our bodies, basically, which actually led itself so well to the study of which is mostly the study of cancer cells, which are cells that have gone wrong, things that have gone wrong with their DNA. So, you know, my scientific pursuit followed very well into my medical pursuit.
Right. Your platform, Winning the Cancer Journey, is truly inspiring. Can you share with our listeners what the core message of your platform is?
Absolutely. So, do you mind? Let me just start with a quick little story and how I got into this platform and why I'm doing it. So I want to give you an example of something that I would see very, very frequently in my patient's population. So I will see a new visit. Patient has come in. She's been seeing another doctor at another institution, and they come for a second. Not uncommon at my hospital. So the patient's husband walks in, and he's got a shopping bag and a supermarket filled with, you know, papers and some discs, and there's papers everywhere. And I would ask them for a certain record. I'd say, do you have the pathology report from your last surgery? So the husband then would dive into the shopping bag and start ripping papers apart and try to find something for me to show me, because I can't help his wife unless I have everything that I need, obviously. And unfortunately, in this day and age, most people are not organized or don't really understand what they're supposed to have at their fingertips. Anyway, fast forward a couple of weeks, patient becomes my patient and I'm treating her. And after we signed her up and put her into the chemotherapy suite to start beginning treatment, I pulled the husband aside. I said, Mr. So-and-so, would you mind, while your wife is in the chair for 5 hours and your son sits with her, would you mind going to Staples and get me a 2-inch binder, some dividers, a hole puncher, and bring it back? And my nurse and I sat during our lunch hour, quote unquote lunch hour, and literally went through the shopping bag of mishmash of papers that he had been accumulating, not knowing, of course, what's important and what's not, sorted everything for him, put it in the binder in, you know, the most logical sense order for patients and to project to their doctors, time sequence, what have you. And then I put aside all the things that were sort of irrelevant. I handed this to the patient's husband before they left for the day. And I mean, he started to cry. He was so grateful for our ability to help them just sort of organize just this mess that they're walking around with. So if this is the mess of their record, you can imagine what's going on in their head. Right. And so it was like a turning point to me. It was so important to think, gosh, something, you know, relatively so easy, my nurse and I did in 10 minutes during our lunch hour, made such a big difference for this family who don't know cancer and don't know treatment recommendations and are just so overwhelmed with everything. And I found that there's a big, big niche available that people just don't have the support and the direction that they need to feel comfortable and confident in what they're doing and where they're going.
Right, right. That's such an important message. And you know, like just the fact that we started this because of that one situation and, you know, especially for those going through such a challenging time, can you share some key aspects of cancer care that patients and caregivers should be aware of?
Well, that's a very big question. I'm trying to think of where to boil that down to. So let me just tell you a little bit about my company. So I'm beginning this company. It's called Winning the Cancer, with the exact intent of helping to patients and their caregivers to control and understand and to navigate their cancer experience. So it gives the patient a lot more sense of control, and it also helps them to understand everything that's going on, and it helps allay some fears and anxiety. So I put together, you know, several guides that I provide. And in fact, at the end, if you want, I can give you a number that people can text to, and I can give them my free guide of, you know, top 10 questions to ask your oncologist, if that would be interesting.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, in general, the general theme that I talk to a patient about in cancer care is, one, the most important things are, one, to make sure that you're eating and drinking well. And I always boil down for my patients that it at this point in time, the most important thing is the basic. Go back to the basics. Make sure you're eating a balanced diet. Make sure you're sleeping as comfortably and well as you can. Make sure that you're well hydrated. Water is so very important, especially when you're on cancer treatment, to keep yourself hydrated, help to rinse out the toxins in your body. Try to maintain some exercise, any exercise at that point. A lot of patients with cancer are very tired and they don't, you know, they're not going to pick up a new, you know, aerobics routine. But on the other hand, if you can get up and try to go about your activities of daily living, and then if you're tired, lay down, take a nap for an hour, but then get up again. Much better for your circulation and for your overall metabolism than sort of like laying low on the couch all day sort of thing. People do deteriorate. And then I guess the other thing that's really important is just make sure you have really good open dialogue with your oncologist and their team. It's very disheartening to me when a patient will come back 3 weeks after their last cancer treatment and they'll tell me, oh my God, I was sick for 5 days. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't get out of bed. I missed my son's birthday. And I thought, oh, I don't have ESP, obviously. I mean, I want to know. I want to know how you're doing. And I want to know if you're not doing well. So.
Right, right. You sound like a good doctor. You really do. How do you guide patients in understanding their diagnosis, treatment options, and actively participating in their care?
So I spend a lot of time on educating my patients, especially in their initial visit. We usually spend most of our time either managing some of the symptoms or side effects that they're having and or educating them based on what's going on. So, for example, when a patient is first diagnosed, they have to go and have a scan done, right? So the doctor wants to know, how far is the cancer spread? Did it get outside of where it had started? And so some patients will go for a CAT scan, and some patients will go for a PET scan, and some will go for an MRI. And so, you know, just the basic diagnosis or the basic discussion of what the difference is between those scans comes up almost, you know, 3-4 times a day in my regular practice. We try to also, you know, make sure that the patient understands the difference between the stage of a cancer, which is how far it's spread, versus the grade of a cancer, which is how aggressive it is. Stage 4 cancer is also considered metastatic cancer, but is not necessarily all stage 4 is the same. A patient can have stage 4 cancer where it, say, started in the breast and then it went to another organ like the lungs and have one spot in the lung and be otherwise feeling perfectly well. That's stage 4 spread. But another patient could have stage 4 cancer where, you know, it engulfed most of their organs, or it's in their bones and they're in pain, and that's also stage 4. So it's important for patients to understand that, you know, you can't necessarily compare things, you know, apples for apples in the waiting room, so to speak.
Right, right. How do you encourage your patients to actively participate in their own care, and what challenges do they often face in doing so?
I love that question because it the whole basis of my empowerment. So one of the things, so simple. Anybody that's listening that has cancer or has a family member or friend who has cancer, buy them a nice monthly/weekly calendar. Like one of the ones you buy at Staples that have, you know, the different pages where you open up one page and it has the month. And I have my patients put in that month every date that they have in that month where they have an appointment related to their cancer. And also any other dates that we need to make sure that we work around, or wedding anniversary, Christmas, or whatever they're celebrating. And so that we have see everything out on a 1 month basis. We see where all the appointments are, including the chemotherapy, doctor's appointments, radiation. Yeah. The next couple of pages are that month, right? So there are weekly pages. When you open up to the weekly page, you'll see each of those pages will have a nice big box for each day. And I instruct my patients to make sure that they're writing down in those boxes per day, how many glasses of water did you drink? Were you constipated? Did you go to the bathroom? Were you nauseous? Did you have pain? Was it, you know, relieved by the medicine that I gave you? Or whatever else, you know, your blood sugars. If somebody has a problem with diabetes, I make sure that they mark down their blood sugar, or their blood sugar levels into the journal. And then they can bring that journal with them, this calendar that they bought at Staples, and it is an invaluable tool for me to help the patient manage their journey. Because I can now see in real time exactly where and when they have the problem, so I can step in and help.
Right, right. Can you share an example where patient empowerment played a significant role in a positive outcome?
For example, a patient that comes to me for a second opinion that has been, say, seeing another doctor, and they just didn't feel that the doctor was giving them enough options, or they felt like there should be something else, or maybe they didn't have 100% confidence. And so, you know, by empowering themselves and learning about their disease further, they knew that there was something else that should be done. And so they sought a second. And it's not uncommon for me to pick up things that have not been done, or I feel would be advantageous for the patient if I added that to the treatment, for example. And even if I'm not changing the regimen, if a patient comes to me and I'm able to really explain to them why they're on this particular regimen instead of a different one, and why they got this test and they don't need the other test, it helps give them a real sense of security and calm that the right thing is being done. And so even if I don't change anything, sometimes I can just help people feel better by reassuring them that things are going the right way.
Right, right. Great. What advice do you have for caregivers supporting their loved ones through a cancer diagnosis and treatment?
So that's tough because it depends on what stage or treatment we're talking about. If it's a patient that has a very early stage cancer that we're just giving them preventative treatment, preventative chemotherapy or radiation therapy, they want to be there emotionally to support them, and they want to make sure that they're available to help them when they're not feeling well. So, you know, providing a meal for the patient's family, 2 days after the chemo, which tends to be the day that the patient may not feel her best, or providing rides back and forth to treatment, sitting with them during their chemotherapy regimen, or just being an ear to listen and understand that people that are not feeling well and have been going through this journey don't always want answers. Sometimes they just want somebody to listen. And that's a really big thing for my patients and families, I think.
Yes, yes. Now, Dr. Trotha Sandoval, dealing with cancer is not only a physical, but it's also an emotional journey. How do you address and support the emotional well-being of your patient?
That is a very large part of what I do, obviously. I particularly specialize in women. I treat mostly breast and gynecological cancers. And so you can imagine there's a lot of emotions that go through the patient and their family when these cancers come about, particularly if it's at the age where the patient is, you know, not done having children, or are going to now, because of the treatment, will be going rapidly into menopause. Then we have all hormonal issues involved, as well as depression and anxiety. In general, I try to make sure that I normalize patients' feelings. In other words, make them realize that what they're feeling and their anger and or regret or what have you is normal. It's a normal part of the process of getting something tragic like cancer. But it's also part of the healing journey, where once you sort of address what's bothering you and, you know, sort of face it head on, a lot of times patients are able to harness that strength to make them better fighters and better treatment patients, because they're able to, you know, work through their problems and have a more optimistic outlook and to sort of accept their journey and win it. And that's really what I try to help them do.
Right, right. What resources or strategies do you recommend for patients and caregivers to maintain emotional resilience during the cancer journey?
So first thing I like to do is always recommend that you have a buddy and make sure that there's somebody that you can check in with on a regular basis, who sort of knows your baseline, knows who you are, doesn't mind if you cry, doesn't mind if you yell, and sort of is your support buddy. I also recommend people maintain some gentle exercise. So weather permitting, I always make sure people try and go out a few times a week and just take, you know, a half a mile walk. You don't have to you know, pick up a new, you know, running regimen, but you need to keep your body moving. I think moving of your body really helps your mind as well. I also recommend journaling. Sometimes patients will, you know, buy a nice, pretty journal that they enjoy, you know, holding, and it's tactilely soothing to them or rewarding. And write down your feelings, write down your thoughts, write down how you feel. And it actually really helps you work through some of your emotions. And some of those emotions are going to include anger and resentment. Why me? A lot of people, you know, feel that way. And these are things that need to be worked through so you can get through this in a more the most mentally healthy way as possible.
Right, right. In your experience, how does empowering patients with knowledge impact their overall experience with their cancer treatment?
I think it has a very, very positive impact, which is why I'm pursuing this avenue. I feel that patients that understand their treatment, that understand their journey, know why they're doing what they're doing, are much more comfortable making decisions with their physician. You know, patients want to know why they're doing things. We're not in the 1950s anymore where the doctor just says, because I said so, and you take the medicine. Patients want to know. They really want to know. And what's important to me is that they get the right information. And I feel that if I don't educate my patients appropriately, they're going to seek the information elsewhere. And that information might not always be accurate. So Dr. Google is not really everybody's best friend. It can really absolutely be a problem and cause a lot of anxiety and unrest for patients and their families because they don't know how to use the information or to put it in.
Right, exactly. How can individuals find strength and hope during these challenging times?
Well, I think that, it's important, you know, strength and hope are usually things that come from internal, but I find that a lot of patients have become very spiritual during their cancer journey. A lot of patients will put their faith and strength in God, as well as in their family and their love for one another. Looking at positive outcomes of other patients that have gone through what you've gone through, and realizing that cancer is not necessarily a death sentence. It is something that is often extremely treatable and potentially curable. Some patients, even with stage 4 metastatic cancer, can come into a remission that will last for years, if not permanently, especially with some of our newer treatments, such as the immunotherapy.
Right, right. What words of encouragement do you have for individuals currently facing a cancer diagnosis?
Take a deep breath, put your head down, and move forward in a positive manner. Try to educate yourself and keep yourself as well informed about what you're going through. Always seek a second opinion, especially if you don't feel comfortable with the one that you've gotten. And try to be your own self-advocate. Nobody knows how you're feeling inside unless you tell us. So I think it's very important for you to be, you know, very collaborative with your doctor and their team.
As we look ahead, what advancements or changes do you foresee in the field of cancer care?
So they're coming by the day. So I'll just give a couple of things that are interesting. So I had mentioned immunotherapy. Immunotherapy is a type of treatment that helps to unleash your body's own immune system to find the cancer cells. So normally cancer will be growing in your body and your immune system, which kills off bacteria and viruses and what have you, will float past the cancer cells and not even notice. Cancer gives off a certain smoke screen, so to speak, that allows your immune system to just ignore it. By giving immunotherapy, which is usually an intravenous treatment every few weeks, we are able to unharness the immune system to find the cancer cells and to kill them. And in some cases, this has brought us to about as close to a cure in some cases of cancer that we have ever come to. Another very interesting breakthrough that has been in development and is being utilized more and more in the clinic is the use of something called circulating tumor DNA, ctDNA, otherwise sometimes known by lay people as a liquid biopsy. So traditionally, if a patient has a cancer somewhere, a tumor, you have to put a needle into it and remove some of the cancer cells and look at it under the microscope. So that requires either a surgery or some sort of a procedure by a CAT scan with sticking the needle in with CAT scan guidance. Now, that will never be replaced. We'll probably always need, at some point, a piece of solid tissue to look at under the microscope. But in terms of monitoring and in terms of making differentiation about different types of cancers, we can now draw blood from a person's arm. So circulating tumor DNA is something that can be derived from our own blood. So cancer cells may be circulating in the system through the blood system, and you can actually collect those in a blood sample and then spin down and collect just the cancer cells in the blood, and then we can get the DNA from that. So it's what we call a liquid biopsy, and I think that's going to really revolutionize a lot of how we manage cancer patients in the future. For example, we can monitor whether or not the chemotherapy looks like it's working. We can monitor whether or not the cancer looks like it's really gone. And without having to do, extensive biopsies often. So I think that's a very exciting advancement as well.
Yes, for sure. How can the healthcare industry continue to improve the patient experience for those facing cancer?
I think that, the increasing use of virtual platforms may be very helpful in the future for patients that are not able to or don't want to come in frequently for visits. It's a good way to check in on people besides just speaking to them on the phone. A clinician, a good nurse practitioner, doctor can certainly look at somebody on the video screen and can tell a lot about how they're feeling and how they're coping. So I think that'll be very useful. I think the government needs to help allow increased use of the virtual platform, because right now there's still a lot of restrictions between states. And I also think that more money needs to be put into the system to help support patients in their cancer journey. I think some patients have a lot of trouble managing the system just based on lack of transportation, lack of ability to get healthy food in the house to be taken, and making sure they have, a clean supply of water. Some of the very basic things that we take for granted need to be, I think, addressed, particularly in crisis when a patient has cancer.
For sure. Well, and Tiffany, if people want to know more about you and also the message, you said that you had a phone number for them to text. How can they find out more about you and about the
show? Sure. So I could give you two different ways to look me up. One is I'm on Facebook. I have a private Facebook group, which you can join if you're interested in. I put in frequent updates about different findings in cancer and how to... I usually try and direct it towards things that I think will be of interest to my my followers about the cancer world. And so that group is called Winning the Cancer Journey. And again, there's a private group, so you can join that by just answering a couple questions. And then the second thing, if you're interested, I can certainly send you a copy of one of my PDFs that have, the 10, 15 most important questions to make sure that you're asking your oncologist, things to make sure that you know. And really, I'm just scratching the surface of things that I think are important for patients, but I would be very happy to share that with your listeners. And you can get that I use something called Textable. You can text me the keyword winning, WINNING, and the phone number is 1-844-464-5613. Again, 1-844-464-5613, text the word winning, and we will get that out to you.
Thank you, Tiffany, so much. And that brings us to an end of another empowering episode of JoJo's Empowering Journey. A heartfelt thank you to Dr. Tiffany Trozo Sandoval for sharing her expertise and passion for patient empowerment in the realm of cancer care. Remember, dear listeners, your journey is unique, and within every challenge lies an opportunity for growth. Whether you're facing a health obstacle or supporting a loved one, Take Dr. Trosa Sandoval's words to heart. Embrace knowledge, surround yourself with a supportive network, and tap into the strength within. Before we sign off, I want to express my gratitude for each and every one of you for tuning in. If you found today's episode inspiring, don't forget to share it with someone who might benefit. Together, we can spread the message of resilience and hope. Stay empowered, stay strong, and until next time, this is JoJo signing off, wishing you a journey filled with courage and triumph. Thank you so much, Dr. Tiffany, for being on our show.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me. Best of luck.
Nope. Thank you.
Done? JoJo, are you still there?
Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.